One of the things we say at the Christian Research Institute without equivocation is that the Bible is divine as opposed to being merely human in origin, that God has spoken, that these are His words, that the Bible is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. But if God has spoken, what has God said? And that, of course, is a question meant to focus your mind on learning to read the Bible for all it's worth. And one of the common characteristics of false faith preachers today is their failure to be able to read the Bible for all it's worth. And that is typically personified by taking the Bible out of context. As such, they consistently use texts as pretexts for their faith fantasies. With respect to immediate context, Joel Osteen and Joyce Meyer misuse Romans 4:17 as a pretext for persuading their devotees that through the force of faith, they can call things that are not as though they were. In other words, from their perspective of faith, we can create realities by speaking these realities into existence. Of course, an examination of the immediate context demonstrates that Romans 4:17 says nothing of the sort. To the contrary, Paul says that it is the God who gives life, not we, who calls things that are not as though they were. What Joyce and Joel do with respect to the immediate context of a verse, Copeland does to the broader context of a passage. The Gospel of Mark chapter 10 is a classic case in point. Rather than reading Mark 10 within its intended context, one verse is pulled out of context and used as a pretext for the hundredfold give to get hoax. The broader context of the passage precludes the pretext. Far from being a chapter focused on how one can get 100 times when he gives, Mark 10 portrays the deceitfulness of riches. As such, the multiplication envisioned by Jesus is spiritual, not physical, metaphorical, not literal. John Hagee takes the text out of context phenomenon to a whole new dimension. Not only does he take texts out of their immediate and broader context, but he also perverts the entirety of the biblical message. And this is particularly disturbing when Christ is the object of his pretext. With bravado that quite frankly boggles my mind, Hagee asserts that the Jewish people wanted Jesus to be their Messiah, but Jesus absolutely refused. He goes on to say, the Jews were not rejecting Jesus as Messiah. It was Jesus who was refusing to be Messiah to the Jews. A clear perversion of the overarching context of Messiah's teachings is hard to envision. Anyone who's read through the Gospels even once knows full well that Jesus emphatically contradicted such sentiments throughout the entirety of his earthly ministry. Who can forget his emotionally charged words as he's leaving the temple? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you. How often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Or what about the words of the Apostle John who wrote, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Common decency alone should have been sufficient to absolve Jesus from Hagee's unwarranted implication of self-contradiction. Giving Jesus the benefit of the doubt on a matter of such grave consequence might rightly have been deemed an interpretive imperative. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith, indeed, the author of eternity, does not contradict himself. Neither does he confuse his hearers. Context, context, context. That's the antidote to the compromise and the confusion, to the contradiction of Christ and the canon. We as Christians need to read the Bible for all it's worth. Otherwise, we are going to be misled by a cacophony of voices that have a siren call that is leading us not towards biblical truth, but rather away from biblical truth.